When the workers who deliver a service that you rely on go on strike, it sucks. I mean, that's the point, to make you notice what you often take for granted. And as the ongoing bargaining dispute between the government of Ontario and its teachers drags on, the parents in this province are starting to get frequent wake-up calls. One-day strikes are the teachers' weapon of choice in Ontario right now. They are rotating them, school board by school board, day by day, to call attention to proposals from the government that would increase class sizes, push kids towards e-learning, and do other things that have the people who spend more time with our kids than anyone except us concerned for the very future of the province's schools. Look, the teachers are angry, and they're making their voices heard.
And you can hear it too, far. I'm just going to step out of the way. You can see there are dozens of picketers, of OSSTF members here on the picket lines. They have been here all morning since 7:30, and we have heard all morning a steady stream, not only of them making noise, but also of vehicles driving by and honking at the picketers. This has really become...
But the province isn't backing down either, and it has its own plan for courting parents who are angered by the strikes to back its position. That plan consists of cash.
So today I'm announcing our government's plan to offer parents up to $60 per day to offset the cost for childcare if strikes action close schools or school-based childcare centers.
Each side is walking a fine line here. Both groups are playing to the public while hoping the negotiations can be pulled towards their side. But every week, it seems they get further and further apart, and the strikes become more frequent. So when does all this come to a head? What's the end game? And what happens to Ontario's kids and parents as this keeps going? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Cynthia Mulligan is a journalist with City News. She works out of Queen's Park, which is ground zero for this labor fight. Hi, Cynthia.
Hello.
Why don't you start by telling me what is happening in Ontario schools while we're speaking and what's happening all this week?
Well, what we're seeing this week is the biggest labor escalation in our schools in over 20 years. So yesterday, ETFO started its escalation of rotating one-day daily strikes. So it targeted three boards, including Toronto. In Toronto alone, more than 170,000 elementary kids were out of class. Every day this week, they will target different boards. This day is huge because OECTA went out. Every English Catholic teacher, elementary and secondary, walked the picket lines, are walking the picket lines with 550,000 kids out of class. And in addition to that, OSSTF went out at 13 boards. So massive. And we're going to see ETFO go out every day for the rest of this week. What I can tell you that isn't happening, no negotiations.
Nothing.
Nothing.
So explain to me why this action is happening and where the labor dispute stands for people who haven't been following the background of this.
So there are a number of key issues. The government is trying to say it's all about money because they've put a cap on salary increases, a 1% cap. The unions are asking for cost of living or roughly 2%. The unions say, yeah, that's part of it. And they're angry that they've imposed that wage cap. They say that should be bargained at the table. And they're actually filing lawsuits against them, court challenges. The unions say that the issues that are even bigger for them are class sizes. So on the high school level, they're fighting for class sizes to be maintained as at last year's level. Initially, the government was going to raise them to 28 from 22. Then they softened that to 25. And the unions want them to stay at 22. Elementary is rising a little bit. But this means thousands of job losses or positions for high school teachers. Right. Plus mandatory e-learning. You put that in as well.
So, what is mandatory e-learning? Can you explain that?
So what that will be, and here's where I think the government has failed. I don't think that they've properly explained it. I think that they should have rolled it out slowly, maybe done some pilot projects on it, but they haven't sold it to Ontario parents or high school students saying, this could actually be really good for you. They say it will, but they haven't shown us how. So mandatory e-learning, initially they wanted four mandatory e-learning courses to graduate. Now they're saying two, and it would be starting with next year's grade nines. So by the time they graduate, they would have to have two mandatory e-learning courses.
And what are they? They're classes that don't take place in the schools.
Right. So you're doing it online. And there are courses that you can do like that now, but suddenly they're
mandatory.
This is making
them a part of the curriculum.
Yes. And there's nothing in this country that sort of substantiates that this is a good thing or how it would be rolled out or who's going to be administering this course. And do you go to your teacher for help or, you know, so it's been very vague, but it will also mean job losses for teachers.
So how long has this, you mentioned there's no negotiation currently, how long has this negotiation or non-negotiation been going on?
Well, just before Christmas, the mediator told OSSTF, public high school teachers, and the government, there's no point in negotiating anymore. Go home.
And
you are so far apart.
Were they out of a contract?
They've been out since August. And it's not unusual for a contract to take many, many months, right? So that's not the unusual part. It's just, I think that the unions are angry. You know, we have a newer education minister. The previous education minister made a lot of statements and, you know, potentially directed by the premier's office, but it raised the temperature. Mm-hmm. So the new education minister takes over and unions and teachers are angry.
Yeah.
And because the government kind of backed them into a corner saying, you know, we're raising class sizes to 28, 4 mandatory e-learning courses, 1%. Pay salary wage cap, you know, they entered negotiations in a fighting mood.
So how unusual, I guess, is this rotating one-day strike tactic?
On this scale, it's very unusual. And we have all four major teachers' unions in some form of job action, whether it's a escalating work to rule or all-out one-day rotating strikes. We haven't seen that in 23 years. This is a whole new generation of families and kids who have not experienced this. And I heard someone say that the education minister was 6 years old the last time.
Really?
Maybe he was eight. The last time we've seen anything like this. And that was, of course, during the Mike Harris days.
Well, I was a high school student during those days. And I remember, you know, a teacher strike that dragged on and on.
Yes.
That's not the strategy this time. Now they're rotating it.
Well, they say they don't want it to be a huge onus on parents. But I also think that this is a strategy because they don't want to be forced back to work. They want to be able to fight for what they want. And this is a government that's not shy about imposing back to work legislation. However, it's not so easy. So today I was interviewing the education minister and I said to him, you know, how long will you let these rotating strikes go on? And he maintains that kids' education is being hurt. However, it's not so easy. You have to prove to a judge that the school year is in jeopardy. A committee has to come together and declare that it's in jeopardy. It's a lot easier to do that when nobody's in school 5, 6, 10 days in a row.
Right.
It's a lot harder to do that when it's the odd strike here and then, you know, 3 weeks later there. So my question today that I'm trying to address in my story is how long can these go on? Like, think it certainly looks like this can go on for the foreseeable future.
Do we have any idea where public opinion is on this?
You know, it's interesting. OSSTF leaked an internal poll that they did just before Christmas that showed that the majority are on teachers' sides. Now, it is an internal Environics poll did it. And it was, you know, around 56, 57% favored the teachers and took their sides and felt that they were being more reasonable than the government.
What's the government doing to sway public opinion back towards themselves?
Well, it's interesting. Over the weekend, the education minister issued a tweet, and it was a little video of all teacher strikes over the years with newspaper clippings. And their point is, this happens all the time.
Right.
And it's time to put a stop to it. And it doesn't happen all the time, not province-wide with all four unions the way we're seeing right now.
How fine a line in terms of public opinion are the teachers trying to walk with the strategy? Because tell me a little bit, I know you guys have been talking to parents as well as teachers and legislators about what strikes like this do to, you know, families' routines and stuff. And is there a point at which they'll start to lose the backing of the public?
I think parents that I know in elementary schools are concerned about class sizes. They're concerned about smaller resources. They're concerned about not enough special ed teachers in the classrooms to help the more and more children with autism that we're going to see enter the schools. So I think many parents understand the issues that elementary teachers are taking a stand for. High school, it's not as difficult because you don't need to find childcare, but it's a whole other different set of worries, right? Because if you have a child in grade 11, 12, you don't want their university chances to be hurt. You don't want them to lose out on high school experiences.
There's one other thing I wanted to ask you about, which is the government's plan to offer money, I guess, to parents with young kids in school for every day. How does that work?
So they're offering up to $60 a day, and that's the highest sum for preschool kids who are out of their school-based daycare.
I see.
So the older you are, the less money you get. And it's an interesting strategy. I mean, it helps people a little bit with the bottom line, but do you have childcare in Toronto? You know how hard it is to get childcare in the best circumstances.
It's not 60 bucks a day, I'll
It's
tell
not
you
60
much.
Bucks, and it's not accessible, right?
Yeah.
It's hard. You're on wait list for childcare for a very long time. So I imagine a lot of parents are scrambling. Now, because it's one day, maybe one parent takes the day off or, you know, mm-hmm. and then the next time, the next parent will if you're in a two-parent family. But it's challenging. It's challenging for people, and it disrupts their schedule. Absolutely. So Mike Harris did this as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. So this was done 23 years ago. And it's not costing taxpayers more. What they're doing is they're using unpaid teacher salaries of teachers who are walking the lines.
Of course.
To pay for it. So if every teacher went out of on strike across the province, it's $60 million worth of salary. And they'll put that money. And they're estimating if every teacher walked out, it's $48 million a day. So they'll still come up with a few extra million in the coffers.
Have we heard anything about what parents are doing with that money, actually using it for daycare, keeping it, giving it back?
I'm getting a lot of tweets that parents are organizing to take the money and then send it to their student councils.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In their way of protest, but also helping the school. I don't know when push comes to shove how many would actually do that, mm-hmm. but there is a growing momentum on Twitter of parents that I see who are saying that they're going to do that.
The one thing that fascinates me about this labor battle in particular is both through the money and through the rotating strikes, the public relations aspect of it, which is like mm-hmm. Ontario has a history, as you mentioned, of disruptive teacher strikes. And so how mm-hmm. important is it to both sides to sort of be seen as the ones in the right here?
Oh, it's critical.
Yeah.
It's absolutely critical. This is an all-out PR war for parent support. I think the government is trying to show that the number of people who are signing up for this childcare money indicates support on their side. I'm not convinced it actually translates to support for the government on this.
You mentioned the kind of question of how long can this go on for. Do we have any idea of if there's a limit to this? Have the teachers said anything about this will continue every week?
My sense is that the rotating one-day strikes by ETFO will continue every week. In fact, when I interviewed Sam Hammond just a few minutes ago, he said that they will have another announcement soon. So they have to give 5 days notice every time they strike. So they've been announcing daily the next board, the next board, the next board. So there's more to come. And in fact, there was an internal memo to teachers, and I've also, this has been confirmed by sources, who say that this strategy will continue until there's a deal or until they escalate further.
Do you have a sense from talking to anyone at Queen's Park if the government does indeed have a limit and will actually push back at in terms of back to work legislation or even in terms of maybe concessions to get them back to the table? Like, how do you move this thing forward?
There has to be some wiggle room. And the government has said, but we did wiggle because we dropped class sizes, you know, our proposed class sizes from 28 to 25. See, we moved. Mm-hmm. We dropped e-learning courses, mandatory e-learning from 4 to 2. See, look, we've moved from our position. Those are massive moves. But let's face it, they're still increasing class sizes and they're still introducing mandatory e-learning. So they say there's movement. The unions say, no, that doesn't count as movement. And the 1%, of course, is still an issue. So I think that there needs to be some movement. I mean, in any negotiation, you need movement on both sides. But I think that some form of carrot is going to have to be dangled by the government to get the unions back on board to even talk.
Because after 4 months, it's pretty unusual and a little worrisome to hear you say that the mediator just told them stop talking.
Mm-hmm. That was for OSSTF.
Right.
But yes. And my sense today, and I interviewed Education Minister Stephen Lecce and ETFO President Sam Hammond literally back to back within half an hour of each other. And they're both pointing fingers at each other saying, well, we've told the mediator we're ready to talk.
Hmm.
It's their fault.
The last time we had you on this podcast, we were talking about the new and more friendly Ford government in mm-hmm. Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
How does this play into that image? And is that image that he was working on before the holidays at risk with this?
Well, he's still working on it. So Premier Doug Ford was at Queen's Park, and I was there when he gave a news conference, and he was asked about what was happening in education. And he was very, very careful not to speak badly of teachers. He said that the problem is with union leadership and that they're holding families hostage. But even his tone, like he didn't call them thugs the way he's called them in the past, right? So he was still less inflammatory than we've seen in the past. And very respectful of how he spoke about teachers. So is this going to impact them? There is a danger that it could backfire. You know, parents overall don't like teacher strikes.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't. Voters don't like teacher strikes. Now, Mike Harris had a massive teacher strike and he got reelected with a majority.
Right.
So if there's going to be a big strike, now's the time to have it happen. And then the Ford government would still have 2 years to potentially recover.
Last question. Did you get a sense from talking to either side if there's one thing in particular that maybe somebody could move on that would get this started? Is there you know, a door waiting to be broken down in particular?
I think to get the unions back, the government is going to have to say, all right, let's sit and talk about class sizes. You want to get, you know, you want them from lower again, or you want to get rid of e-learning. I think that that's what it's going to take. I don't think they're going to budge on the 1%. I mean, the premier made that very clear last week. They are not budging on the 1%. So they're going to have to offer them something substantial to make up for that.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Pleasure.
Cynthia Mulligan is the Queen's Park reporter for City News. That was The Big Story. You want more from us? Head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. Keep scrolling down till you find one you like. You can also find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. You can find me on Twitter at TheGameSheet. Don't ask, it's an old handle. And of course, everywhere you get podcasts, we are there too, with fresh episodes every weekday on Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, on Spotify. Show your love, give us 5 stars, leave a review. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.